Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, and the Keystone Sports app. Talking Penn State football here for the next hour of your life. Dustin Hockensmith with Greg Pickle. Going to do what we usually do here, start with the news of the day. News of the weekend, really. Get into our depth chart series in a little bit. Safeties is the position now, and I think it's an interesting time to talk safeties considering they're replacing two
interesting
of them.
Group in this class, too. That'll be good.
Yeah, for sure. Ask Greg where your Penn State football and recruiting questions will be coming up a little bit later, and we're going to conclude the show with your NIT, your National Invitation Tournament champion.
Jeff's going to be
Penn
all
State
fired
basketball
up.
Team. I think it's honestly a really cool feat.
It is.
All
it is.
Things considered, they look like an NCAA tournament team
yep.
playing in the NIT. They want it like an NCAA tournament team would, and they did it without Mike Watkins.
Yeah, I mean, not to belabor the point, but it's hard for me to separate, you know, okay, so you win the NIT tournament. What does that make you if you would have went to the NCAA tournament? And then, of course, the other question is it better to win the NIT tournament or go and lose in the first round of the NCAA tournament? I mean, look, I don't follow basketball recruiting that close. Penn State is not going to see a recruiting bump like some would hope based on winning the NIT. Why, Dustin? Because kids don't go to school to win the NIT. It's good. And look, if Penn State keeps Tony Carr, they're in business. I mean, there's no question about it. This is the top 25, top 30 team next season. If they can continue to see improvement from, I think I might pronounce his name wrong, but John Harar, who played a lot.
Jeff Brown, our guy who pronounces names
for a living. That's right, yeah.
Says Hera.
Hera, okay.
Yeah. He said he was told several different pronunciations
sure.
along the way, but it's Hera.
Okay, very
good.
Good. But if he continues to progress, you add him and a healthy Mike Watkins to the mix. I mean, even without Tony Carr, this team has plenty of pieces coming back potentially, but of course Carr would be the big one to get back. So we'll have to wait and see what he decides. No NBA decisions from him yet. But yeah, good feat, good run for Pat Chambers' program. And like he said, do you think back to it, these guys started way back when over the summer during that overseas trip. This is a long, long, long season. It's time for some deserved rest for the NIT champs.
The NIT recruiting bump is, I would say, the same thing in football as like the Foster Farms Bowl recruiting
yeah.
bump.
Right.
I don't really think that kids are like, oh, but you are hoisting a trophy
right.
at the end of the day. And Penn State.
There are worse ways for the season to end.
Sure, for sure. All right, let's talk some football.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a ton of really huge new stuff, but going back to what they Tommy Stevens is back.
Yes.
We haven't had an opportunity to talk about this. And for me, you know, I'm going to think about myself for sure, but it just says to me, okay, I don't have to spend another month, 2 months, 3 months speculating on what Tommy Stevens
Correct.
Will or won't do. There's only so much you could have said about Tommy Stevens and what the
Right.
upside, the downside, all that stuff. But I think in the end, you know, he was talking about having to stay patient. And he did express that he explored, and as he should have explored. But in the end, I think that he had a good thing going at Penn State. There was a certain role for him, for better or for worse. And that brings him back to, you know, again, work behind Trace McSorley, probably see his role expand a lot in 2018, and then be the guy in 2019.
Yeah, so a couple things about that. I mean, first of all, what interests me is that everyone was so open and honest about this thing. At the end of it, when the word was finally out there, I mean, I thought it was telling. Not that I thought James Franklin would handle it any other way, but I did think it was interesting that. And he's done this before. You think back to his conversations about the NFL draft and Saquon Barkley. And, you know, he says, hey, look, we want the best, what's best for our guys. So if he, and he didn't say this, I'm paraphrasing, but he more or less said it, that if Tommy Stevens found somewhere to go that was a better fit for him than sitting as the backup and multi-use threat at Penn State, Penn State would have been okay with it. They would, I mean, obviously, as a grad transfer, they didn't have a choice. But you know, I think that they were supportive of him and what he wanted to do. At the end of the day, we've talked about it for a while. I don't know what the perfect situation was, what guarantees would have been out there. And ultimately, if you go to a place that doesn't have a starting quarterback, what are your championship odds compared to staying at Penn State? So you put it all together. He knows what he has in Happy Valley, and I think that really played the biggest role in all this.
what are you going to do as a coach if you got a guy like this who can transfer without penalty because it will be a grad transfer? Are you going to slow a kid down and you're going to essentially force a kid to stay there? I think it's proper, and I wouldn't expect anything different from James Franklin on this one, but I don't think there's a real upside to being the bad guy in this situation either. So I think all you can do is just walk that fine line between essentially re-recruiting Tommy Stevens. They've been re-recruiting Tommy Stevens, it feels like, for about 3 years now, two for sure, about what his role is going to be once he loses the starting quarterback competition to Trace McSorley, which, again, James Franklin did use this as a platform to get back into that battle between those two and saying that it was closer than many expected it to be or thought it was.
Right.
But ever since then, he had to re-recruit Tommy Stevens about what his role would be, and he's spoken so highly of him over the years. We started to see it last year, and then they slapped the Lion label on him. I think all this is, you know, it's designed to, A, get a good playmaker on the field this year when they need many good playmakers as they can, and, B, keep him around, keep him interested, keep him engaged, keep him active in the offense.
If you were Tommy Stevens, and that's a great point, and it goes to what I think should have happened behind the scenes. If it didn't happen, I'd be surprised. But, okay, so nothing's guaranteed at Penn State. They don't promise anyone playing time, this, that, or the other thing. But if you're Tommy Stevens, and I think both sides had some leverage here, because Tommy could obviously say, hey, if I leave, you're kind of stuck. And Penn State, of course, could say, well, you could leave and not play or go not play for a championship, yada, yada, yada. So I think I don't think either side necessarily, and not that they're negotiating, but I mean, essentially it's what it comes down to is what's the best fit. So if I'm Tommy Stevens, the first thing I do with James Franklin and Ricky Ronnie when I'm getting close to deciding to stay is I would have to go to him and say, Coach Moorhead, against Michigan, against Michigan State, against Ohio State, the biggest games of the year, I was not really involved in those game plans. And that's one thing that I think, you know, I'm sure Moorhead explained to him why. Of course, we still don't know. And that's one of the biggest questions that still comes up when you talk about those games was, where was number two? Because it seemed like there were times we put him on the field. Look, I get it. You have to take Mike Gesicki off the field or somebody else. I understand that. But there were probably times in those games that you're talking about decided by a couple of points that he probably could have made a difference, and he just never was put on the field. So I think that when you talk about a bigger role, I think it has to include, you know, a 12-game game plan for him and how they're going to use him. You know, our colleague here, Bob Flanders, is convinced that he's going to get more time under center in a meaningful way.
Under center.
Right. Behind center. Quarterback. Yeah, boy, I better correct that. Thank you for catching that. Next, we'll have fullback questions. But at the end of the day, yeah, if you look at everything that Tommy Stevens has done for this program so far, certainly he deserves an expanded role, and not to mention the fact that Penn State doesn't have Mike Gesicki anymore. It might not have anything at Titan. I'll tell you what, Dustin, that is a scary, scary situation for Penn State. It's not one that's necessarily appealing to talk about, but you look at what's going on at the tight end spot, and they're in trouble, and I think you might end up seeing more Tommy Stevens because, simply put, I just don't know if any of the tight ends are guys that can play 70 or 80% of the snaps in the game.
Well, I think that's the thing. You don't know one way or the other. The tight end situation doesn't terrify me, but it is just it's a lot of unknowns. They seem calm about it. I wouldn't expect them to different than
I'm
that.
Sure, yeah.
I wouldn't expect Tyler Bowen to have his hair on fire about it. But at the same time, we just don't know about these guys. But it might just be that we don't know how well they're doing behind the scenes,
right,
too. And for 2 years, Mike Gesicki gobbles up all the snaps. I think that's more from a controlling and getting your best player out there point of view, kind of like the Saquon Barkley and Miles Sanders situation. Doesn't mean that Miles Sanders couldn't carry the load. It just means that he didn't because they wanted their best guy out there all the time. I think the same thing about tight end. I don't know. But one thing is for sure, and this came up on this show a couple weeks ago, I think, is that you know, you don't have the same opportunity cost at those positions. You're not pulling a proven big-time playmaker, guy who's probably going to go, the second round of the draft.
Yeah.
You're not pulling Saquon Barkley to get this quote-unquote gimmick in there. So as they're using this formation last year, they weren't using it in high-leverage situations because they trusted what they had, and they didn't really want to rock the boat on that.
Exactly.
That dynamic changes this year. I don't think – it's not that they don't – necessarily trust what they have, but Tommy Stevens is gonna be one of those trusted guys.
It does, and I wish I could find it, but there's not enough time for me to sit here and find it, so I'm just gonna paraphrase. But there was a story not too long ago that James Franklin was quoted in, and he had mentioned that, you know, it was hard. I think the running back situation was difficult for Penn State, and we obviously all know that Andre Robinson transferred and things like that. But I mean, more or less, what he said was that it's hard because you don't want to take your best player, one of the best players in college football, off the field. But at the same time, you know, you're trying to create competition for guys behind him. You're trying to, you know, obviously give them a legitimate shot to get on the field. That's how you keep kids happy, you know, in this day and age. And it's been like that for a long time. So the fact that, you know, Penn State now has a chance to, they obviously lose some key pieces, but it might allow them to get more guys on the field. Will that make them better? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
We will find out. The other part of this that, for 2018, for 2019, obviously a much greater situation for Penn State with your experienced backup and a guy who presumably next year can really pick up where Trace McSorley left off. But I think just the long-term health of the quarterback depth chart was at stake here. I think that if Stevens leaves a year early, you're suddenly thrusting, you know, a Sean Clifford or a Jake Zembeck into a starting quarterback competition next year, which is probably not what they wanted. Everything falls back into line. It gives those guys an additional year, and I do think the 2019 recruiting class is the time to get your second quarterback in a class. They've wanted it, I think, all along here, but in 2019, the timing all works out. It's pretty crystal clear to these guys in the 19 class. They will have a legitimate shot to compete for a position high on the depth chart. I think they're going to get their second quarterback in this class.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, the question kids, I think, will have is what is their competition, or does Tommy Stevens just get the job, and how does that impact things moving forward? There's going to be places with better paths to get on the field early, if that's the only thing you're concerned about. But again, I think you look around the country, and there will be very few programs that can offer from a playmaker's perspective, what Penn State can offer. So that's a good recruiting chip as well. We'll have to wait and see how it plays out.
We'll get into recruiting. There's a lot more that I wanted to get into recruiting in this
particular
segment.
But you just can't skip over Tommy Stevens, no, man. It's a story that just won't – yeah.
With a few seconds here, KJ Hamler I thought was an interesting buzz guy,
yeah,
out of camp. Fast and quick, James Franklin said, which is interesting because Deshaun Hamilton, quicker than fast.
Right.
KJ Hamler, we've been hearing grumblings a little bit. He enrolled in January last year.
Yep.
Been hearing grumblings. I don't know if he's the guy in the slot, but he will see the field for sure.
Agreed.
He's too unique not to.
Yep.
All right. We'll move on. I want to – maybe I'll bring up the recruiting stuff and ask Greg.
Yeah,
My questions to
Perfect.
You.
Perfect. That's okay.
About a week, a month of visitors coming up. All right. We're going to take a quick break here. We're going to get into some real football stuff, the depth chart breakdown at safety. Stick around. Hey, Dustin Hawkinsmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can, when you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G, the name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-L-O-N-G.